Welcome in. Time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Welcome in. Time for Daily Editorial. It is Monday, starting a new week, the 27th of June. The heat wave, fortunately, that hit Seattle hasn't really hit up here, and I thank God for that. Jim, I want to start to talk with you. We had like four major decisions since the last time we did an editorial. The first one that I want to talk about is the situation with the students down in Georgia. Explain that.
Okay, so this is an interesting case that was decided kind of under the radar, not a lot of discussion about it, but the Supreme Court sided with two Christian college students in a Georgia college that the school did not allow them to speak freely. It was Georgia Gwinnett College. It was 2016. And basically one of the students was restricted from being able to speak about his Christian faith and trying to talk to people about it.
Yeah.
They said you got to go to a safe space, a little area, a very small area where you couldn't talk to anybody else. And he actually tried to apply and got a permit to do that. And then the school, actually somebody complained about it and called the school authorities, and the police went ahead and basically put, banned him from doing it. He sued on that. And there was another student as well that joined the lawsuit because he was intimidated by what the school had done. They lost in court all the way up to the Supreme Court, but then the Supreme Court heard the case. They had asked $1 each in nominal damages, but the Supreme Court said, hey, that does not reflect the basic, impact to the college. So they sent it back down. The Supreme Court sent it back down to the federal district court. The federal district court said, okay, the schools are going to have to pay up. The schools went ahead and agreed to pay these two students $800,000 in legal fees and some damages to them. So yeah. The point of this is it's a tremendous victory for these institutions, these U.S.-funded, government-funded state institutions that have been silencing people's religious voices and freedom. And it was a very powerful statement. So it's going to open up a lot of universities to, allowing free speech on campus when it comes to religious matters. And, of course, that will be reflected through much of our institutions that have really silenced speech around the nation. And that's one of the multiple cases.
We've got four cases we're going to talk about. Now, I guess my question is, let's talk about the four cases first. Let's talk about the gun control in New York.
Yeah, so basically first, New York had passed a law that did not allow people to transit their guns. It was very, very stingy on the ability. You had to prove that you had stature and a threat in order to get a concealed carry permit. And basically the court said, no, you don't. That is definitely against the Second Amendment. And of course, this is a tremendous loss for the gun control advocates, and it was a tremendous win for Second Amendment individuals and people that, wanted the ability to protect themselves.
Right.
And that happened just before the Roe v. Wade announcement. So there's that announcement, which really inflamed the left. And then, of course, we had the Roe v. Wade this Friday.
Jimmy, I'm staying up every single night as late as I possibly can to get the news for the day. These are two things that weren't even brought up on the news yesterday. Yesterday evening being Sunday evening, which I find to be very interesting. I'm seeing a lot of decisions going the way that I personally like to see them go. I don't want to talk about Roe versus Wade yet. The first thing I want to talk about is a football coach in Bremerton who asked the students if they wanted to do a prayer before or after a game. All the students agreed. The students were not coerced into anything. And, of course, the anti-non-secular crowd got all over them. he won that case. The coach is fine. They can do the prayer together before or after a football game now. That's got to really, really infuriate the progressives.
It is. And I do want to clarify something. So Joe Kennedy, the coach, he actually didn't ask the students. He would just go at the end of the game and kneel on the 50-yard line. And then players actually just started joining him. And he did it for 7 years. It's a regular routine. And my son, again, in a Washington, you know, football team, Washington State high school football team, he was the quarterback. And the players, every game, would pray before the game. And mm-hmm. nobody really complained about that. But in this particular case, some activists attacked Joe Kennedy. They said that he was trying to intimidate and influence based on his position as a coach. And oh, by the way, he was supported all the way through the Washington courts and all the way through the district courts, all the way up to the Supreme Court. But thank God and thank the Constitution for allowing his liberty to speak freely and to speak and to be able to pray out there in the best interest of what he believes for his young students and football players. So I think you're absolutely right. The progressives are going nuts over these types of issues. But really, there's still 80% of the country that still has faith in God. And I just don't think it's a good argument to actually stop prayer. It definitely inflames a certain amount of people, and those are the activists that the left are trying to mobilize, along with Roe v. Wade. But at the same time, it is giving back basic liberties to Americans as guaranteed. It's not freedom of religion; it is freedom. Not freedom from religion, but freedom of religion right. in the United States.
Right. I think a lot of people have to realize that, and they're not realizing it right now. You know, let's talk about Roe v. Wade. I spent an awful lot of time on the weekend doing comments, got over 100 comments, over 100 on the Friday situation regarding the KER politics. Again, we're well over 100 on that one. I want to give my opinion on Roe v. Wade. And what I want to do is I want to state it as explicitly as I can. I was having dinner last night with a few friends, and I explained my situation to everybody. One of the people there was a woman who happened to feel very strongly that men should not be allowed to prevent women from having an abortion, etc., etc. The way I handle that particular situation is purely and simply as a Christian, which I am. Everybody knows that. And I firmly do not believe in abortion, but that's me. I take it one step farther and I say, you know what? God gave us free will. That's explained very, very explicitly in the Bible. If a woman wants to have an abortion, I believe that that's okay for her. That's a decision that she is making for herself and the unborn child. If she feels that she can make that decision, she's going to have to deal with God eventually. God will judge. And I'm not saying which direction God is going to judge. I'm simply saying God will judge. It's not for Al Corlin to judge. There are a lot of very, very crazy things going on in our society. I have chosen simply to say I believe in the final judgment because I do. It's explained very explicitly in the Bible. I may not. There's no point in me getting all upset about something when God is going to do it in his own way eventually. You may not agree with me, Jimmy, and it doesn't matter in the sense that I listen to what everybody has to say. Can I get some comments on my feelings about Roe v. Wade?
Sure. Yeah, you're right. I don't agree with you. And I don't agree with you because...
I know you don't.
Yeah, because it's not the woman's body. When the baby starts growing, it's not her body. It's okay. A separate entity. Full DNA. So she's making a decision to take not something for herself. She's making a decision to take away a viable human being, a life that could be, that could change humanity, that could be that wonderful person that actually brings together people in a positive way, could be that woman. So how many women have been destroyed and murdered by abortion? It's just a reality. You're not making a decision for yourself. You're making a decision for an unborn child that's not yours, that's not, does not share the same DNA, that has its own opportunity to live. And as a 16, you know, the son of a 16-year-old who had to make that decision, my mother, thank God, was not pressured by many people who tried to push her to get an abortion at 16. And now I have five amazing children that will leave a legacy for a long period of time. Who's to say what these kids, what these children will do? And I do not agree that it is a major pain or difficulty for a woman to be inconvenienced for 9 or 10 months of a pregnancy when they won't even know they're pregnant for 2 or 3 months. So, you know, 6 or 7 months of inconvenience and then give the child up to adoption, which many, many parents would love out there. So, you know, and again, you're making a decision for not only that unborn child, but you're also making a decision for the man. And oh, by the way, there are three people involved in every child's birth. That's just a fact and a reality.
I agree 100%, Jimmy.
I think, you know, I will not speculate on how God will judge anything, but I do know that that it's just wrong to destroy a human life.
Jimmy, I agree with what you're saying 100%. What I'm saying is that for those women out there who are beating the drum for it's my body, et cetera, I am saying, perhaps not as directly as you would like me to say, no, it's not your body, it's the child's body also. I agree with that. I'm saying that God will eventually make the final decision, and I believe that firmly, and you believe that firmly. I understand completely where you're coming from. I don't agree. I don't disagree. I'm simply saying that in every aspect of our lives, we will be judged on it for God. I believe that most of the women that have abortions will pay for that severely.
Let's move away from that. Let's move away from that argument because it's just I mean, we do have our own faith and beliefs, you know, and people are, they have that right to do it. But when your belief or your faith takes away someone else's choice, because they are taking away that choice of that child to live, then it's a different consideration. But here's really what is wrong. When people are out tearing up the cities, burning down parenthood advisory councils and Christian community centers over this, when they're rioting in the streets in Greenville, South Carolina, and fighting with the cops, I don't agree with that.
No, of course not, Jim. That's just common sense.
And they're attempting to mobilize for politics and manipulation. And they've, the left and the progressives have made this into an issue that it's somehow you're, the government is forcing you to have a child. That's not the case. You're making a decision to have a relationship with somebody, and then your state and your legislators will make a decision on whether or not it's legal to destroy that human life or not. But ultimately, you're destroying a human life.
Right.
So it's up to the, that's the choice. And what's, what the progressives have done are use these arguments and inflamed emotions of extremists that really are not cognitively capable or emotionally capable of stepping back from the problem, and they're willing to fight and destroy and do whatever they can. I don't think it's going to work for them, but that's the politics of it right now. That's what they're doing. And Democratic leaders are using those arguments to inflame people. The argument that somehow the Republicans or the court is taking away right. That's not the case. They're protecting the right of an innocent child.
Right.
And they're actually not even doing that because they're giving it up to the states and your local communities to make those decisions.
Right. Jim, I don't disagree with you. I know why you're saying what you're saying. All I'm saying to, perhaps in a bit of a different way, is I really believe that the pregnant woman will eventually answer to God, and she won't like the answer that she gets. That's simply another way of saying that I agree with you, Jim. Jim, we're up to 1437. Why don't we call it here, and let's get all the comments that we can. We've had over 100 every day so far. Let's see if we can get that many this time. Jimmy, God bless you.
And you too, Al.
Thank you.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.